The Apostle Paul, writing to the book of Romans, Romans people, chapter 1 through 11, he'd been dealing with the doctrinal issues. And starting with verse number 12, he goes into the duty of the book. And that's the way the Apostle Paul, well, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God used the Apostle Paul to do many of his books like that. Colossians, Ephesians. That half of the book would deal with doctrinal issues, and then that next half would always deal with the duty. The first half of Romans, chapter number 11, that was positional, starting with chapter 12, the practical part of the book. Because he dealt with sanctification, he dealt with justification, the election, calling. Many of your Romans road that you've used to get saved by, that's all in the doctrinal, positional. And even in chapter number 1 through 11, the beliefs, and beginning with chapter number 12, and to the end of the book, the behavior part of it. Chapter number 12, I asked you to stand. I want to read two verses. I want to deal, I'm going to read these two verses that I'm going to kind of give you a little bit here. And then I want to give two people in the Word of God, kind of give you a testimony. A testimony of a young person. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore. Of course, Rochester Baptist Temple knows therefore means what preceded. Because everything that Paul wrote from chapter 1 verse 1. To chapter 11, verse 36, I beseech you, therefore, because of everything that I pinned down to the Romans, I'm going into chapter number 12 and dealing with us as God's people and applying to our heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, those compassions, those mercies of God that you present your bodies, that body that you have, that God's given you, because you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And like I said, I'm kind of dealing with young people, but I believe this verse is very much for us as adults. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you. You may be seated. You may ask, what is the will of God, Brother Craig? I just read it. And I know all through the Scriptures, you know, it deals with things that's the will of God in your life. But right here, it ended off with these first two verses. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? The will of God for all of us, not just the young people. But the perfect will of God is found in the first two verses. It said, I'm begging you, I'm exhorting you, I'm a praying that you will present your bodies a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament economy, you know that they had to take animals. They had to take animals and put them on the altar. But after Christ died, and Christ died once to pay the ultimate sacrifice, we don't have to have the doves anymore. We don't have to have the bullocks up here anymore. We don't have to go behind the veil anymore as far as offering up our sacrifice. We don't have to do that, thank God. Amen. Because only the high priest could do that. But I'm glad that God made us kings and priests, and He's put us in a great big family. And so now that the veil's rent from top to bottom, we can go in. We could go to the throne room. And because our lives are sanctified in Him, because our bodies have been bought with a price, He's wanting each and every one of us. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you saved? Are you born again? If you are, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Young people, you say you're saved. You told mom and daddy you say. You told me to my face you're saved. You belong to God. You're not your own. I've said it, and I know you said it. I'll do my own thing. Yeah, a cruel messenger's going to be sent your way. And I'm going to show you that verse here in just a little while. But it says, I present that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. We're not doing sacrifices anymore. The only sacrifice we are to give is giving our flesh, giving our time. We are to sacrifice our life for the glory of God. A living sacrifice. Someone said in times past, a sacrifice is presented before the altar. And today, the altar is everywhere. We are to give our lives sacrificially everywhere. In times past, other bodies, other animals were offered. Now, today, in the grace age, the time we live in, our bodies are to be offered. In times past, the dead sacrifices were offered, but today, living bodies are to be offered. Sacrifices are free from sin, not to be divided. Many times when you put the sacrifice on the altar, it was cut in half. But thank God, it's not divided now. It's not broken. It's not even polluted. And many times back in this sacrifice, and this what ought to be really strong for us, young people, what ought to be really strong for us, is back when the high priest, when they would get their offering, they would go out and look for that lamb. They'd have to try to find the ones that was close to perfect. No blemish, just no spots. Try to find that. That ought to speak to our hearts. That if our lives is going to be offered up to God, we ought to be just as close as we can get without any blemish or out of any spot. Try to live a life that there be no sin, to be free from sin. Sacrificing our lives. And that's what God's wanting us to do. For adults and us as young people, is living our life that be pleasing to the Lord. And that's what it says. Be acceptable unto God. That you would be well pleased and stand before God and said, I am well pleased with you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That your life would be a living sacrifice. You'd be holy. You'd be acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then, of course, some of the strongest words in the book of Romans says, be not conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned like it. Don't be conformed to the same pattern as it. You lay out something right here on this communion table that represents the world. That world, that the world wants you to conform to that. Whether it's your music, whether it's the morals. Whatever it is, they're going to offer you something. As I remember Brother Andy Wells, I think that's who it was, I believe it is. The world is going to offer you many doors in your life. And that door is locked. That door is going to be locked. But behind that closed door, behind that locked door, the world's going to offer you something. But you know this curiosity kills the cat. Many young people today, and even us as adults, we get a little bit curious of what's behind the door. You know, what's behind it? Can I get just a peep in it? I just want to see. I'm really curious about maybe what's behind the door. Drugs. Maybe it's behind there. Alcohol. Premarital sex. Maybe that's behind there. Worldly music. Worldly morals. I want to find out. I want to find out what's behind the door. Well, I'm going to try it. Take the key. And you unlock it. You find out what's behind it. Maybe you walk through. You enjoy it for a little while. Oh, I'm enjoying being inside this door. Finding out what's behind the closed door, the locked door. But then, well, I don't like it anymore. You try to close it. I need to lock it back. It won't lock. It won't lock. I can't get it shut. The door won't shut anymore. I can't get it locked. That door's open. And like myself and many sitting here in this church today, we're haunted by the open doors in our lives. I am haunted today by some things that I'm not happy about. Because I got curious. Try this door. It's enjoyable. Pleasure and sin for a season. It'll be exciting for a little while. I don't know what it's like to wake up the next morning with a hangover, but what I've heard, thank God I don't. I don't know what it's like to be high, floating around, hallucinating. Oh, that sounds enjoyable, don't it? I know some of you have. Y'all know what it's like. Y'all could probably tell me horror stories, but don't. Because that's in the past. But young people, I'm telling you, things like this will haunt you the rest of your life. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ye may prove what is that good. That word prove means to test. That means to examine. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, Brother Craig, I'm a young person. I want to know what the will of God for me in my life is. Get in verse number 1 and 2. Waller all in it, and you're going to find out right here is part of the will of God. Giving your life to God and staying away from the world. They're not going to offer you anything that you're going to like. I don't know what you come for tonight. Young people, I don't know what you're here for. Many of you are saying, well, because Mom and Dad made me come, I had to come. Amen, Mom and Dad. Amen, Mom and Dad. Amen. Keep them in church. I already know in this place tonight, just can't wait to get a little older. I'm gone. You're already premeditating. You're already thinking in your heart, in your mind, I can't wait till I'm out of here. I don't like the preaching. I don't like Mom and Dad's rules. I'm going to get as far away from RBT as I can. I'm going to get away from Preacher Rackley. I'm going to get away from Brother Craig. I'm getting away from Brother Mike. I'm getting away from Brother Jacob and all them God people that comes through this pulpit. I don't know what Brother Matthew's going to preach Sunday, but I want our young people to get ready tonight. Be ready. Live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to give you two examples, and I'm afraid there may be some in here like this, but I'm going to dig in on the next one. Luke chapter 15. Most of us have heard this story. And many times when you're dealing with youth, I've preached it. Go to this chapter, and it's dealing with lost things. The sheep, the coin, and the son. But I want to make application tonight for those in here that's young. Because in verse number 11, he said a certain man had two sons. Now look what the younger one did. I hope everybody's paying attention. I hope everybody's looking. Because I'm going to be honest with you, you'll give an account of what you do with the message. I've got to give an account when I stand before God what I've done with it and how I delivered it. Same with Brother Barry. When he delivers a message and it comes right, he's going to give an account. But I hate to say it, but those of us sitting on the pews from Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, what have we done with the message? And every man will give account of himself. And the younger of them said to his father, You know, I got to reading that today and I thought, Miss Paula Sue, I wonder what age this younger son was. I wonder if he was 18. Could he have been around that age? 13? 16? You know, I brought this up before. It blows my mind. I know it's got to be a worldly thing. This 18 age. You know, I thought it too. I thought it, 18. When I get 18, there's nothing nobody can do. And I was over 18. But I said, Mom, I'm a mariner and I won't care. And when I get away from Mom, you know, I think, I know it was the Holy Spirit saying, you know you ain't right. You know you ain't right. But he let me go. He let me keep going until he said it's time for me to step in. Luke chapter 15, verse number 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. Now, why is it young people today? I need somebody to answer this. Why is it young people? And of course, and you know, I was there once too, and so I guess I know the answer. Why is it when young people go to mom and dad and they say, Mom, do this for me. Dad, do this for me. Give me, that younger son said, give me. You know, the mannerly way to done it was, Brother Brian, or Dad, can I have this? But here's already started an act of rebellion in the heart. Father, give me. I want you to do it for me right now. Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Father, I'm getting inheritance from you. You're going to give me inheritance when you kick the bucket, old man. And today I want you to just go ahead and give it to me. I've turned 18. I'm going to do my own thing now. I want you to go ahead and just give me the inheritance that belongs to me. Already the first stage of rebellion. And he divided unto them his living. I'm sure that father hated to do that. And he might have, while he was getting the money out, might have said, son, I don't like it. You know you're not doing the will of God. You know you're not pleasing. I'm trying to help you, son. Maybe the father's been down that road before. I'm trying to help you. I've been down that road. I've done the same thing. I didn't like it when I was down that road. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He took his journey into a far country. And that's amazing they put far country in there. Get as far away from the father's house as I can get. I'm a getting away from mom and daddy. I'm a getting away from RBT. I'm going to get away, do my own thing. I'm going to have plenty of money. I'm going to find me a house. I'm going to have me a little picket fence around it. I'm going to plant me some flowers. I'm going to enjoy my time being on my own. You know, money don't last long. I prayed about this. And yet most of y'all know the situation of our home. And young people, I want every one of you listening. Young people, you listen? Some decisions I made 2005. Oh, we thought we needed a bigger house. Decided to move. Kara come along. It's amazing what one little child, Brother Carol, do. Bring another into this world. You have no more room. Well, good Lord above knows when Kara came along, I lost my study. I had my nice little desk. I had my nice bookcases all around. I could get in there, the secret place, Brother Silas, and I could, you know, pray. I could study. At the time, the church was sending me to Bible college. Thanks to them. Thanks to y'all. I do my homework, do my Bible study, and get ready to preach messages when God would open up a door. But it was time to get a bigger house. Out of the will of God, young people, listen to me. Out of the will of God. Okay. Nice little house, Indian Ridge. Yeah, we'll get it. Just before I signed the paper, a new general manager come on the scene, Brother Scott. I was getting overtime every day, at least an hour. Making, fairly decent, I mean, especially for around here. A new general manager come on. Cut out all overtime. Cut my pay 68 cents. Just bought the house. And I look back and probably wouldn't have made it. Still probably wouldn't have made it because I was out of the, young people, I was out of the will of God. And Brother Scott and Miss Stacy knows a lot about this. April 4th, 2008. They foreclosed on that house. And I'm sharing this with you because young people, just because you get a little house, just because you get a fine car, just because you want to get out on your own, what you're not forgetting is right now mom and dad's paying your bills. You get on your own, you've got your own. You pay them yourself. Kaylee ever leaves the house, I'd want to love her. If I've got my blessings on her, fine, I'll help her. And this is the way every parent ought to feel. Even though we love you, you get out of the will of God and you leave. I hope we as parents, I may just regret what I'm saying here. But maybe I hope us as parents would take a stand and say, you made your bed, you lie in it. April 4th, 2008, our house was foreclosed on. And I missed McQuady last year. Wasn't a thing I could have done. Just thought, hopes, God would come through. Oh, Lord Jesus, I prayed about that thing. God, help us get out of this thing. I tried to have faith about it. Foreclosed. Out there in yourself is a little different, young people. And you're talking to somebody that was married 16 years. Oh, I was into the marriage. We already had our life set. But wrong choices, wrong decisions. And you're probably getting ready to say, Brother Craig, I wouldn't tell none of this. But I'm just trying to keep somebody else out of the ditch. Credit cards. Oh, it's such a blessing to have a credit card. Of course, this is a Walmart gift card, but. Oh, it's such a blessing to have a credit card in you. Then you go through here. Of course, I don't have any credit cards no more. Thank God. That's a library card. Credit card. After credit card. After credit card. Oh, Daddy, I just got to have a JCPenney's. There you go. There's your goodies. There's your Sears. Everywhere you want to go to. There you go. There you go. There you go.
had to declare bankruptcy. Brother Craig, I wouldn't get behind the pulpit and say that. I'm keeping you out of the ditch, young people. Had to take bankruptcy. But as you've heard Mama say right here, time and time again, and I'll say this, all of that I just mentioned was the chastening hand of God. I got out of the will of God, tried to fix all the problems myself. I was praying about this thing. I was trying to do it, young people. But I'll be honest with you. I could stand here today and honestly say, I believe God stood back. And it basically said, you made your bed, you lie in it. You made the mistake, I'm going to let you water in. You say, but God's a loving God. God should have helped you all. I've actually had people saying, why couldn't this be done? Why couldn't this be done? Why couldn't this be done? Because it was the chastening hand of God on our lives. Mama, stand right here. I can stand before you tonight. It took all of that to get us back in the will of God. We're happier today living in a two-bedroom.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, Kaylee and Kara have to share the same bedroom. We've got their little separate beds in there. But I'll be honest with you, and we told this, we are happier today, Brother Scott, than we've ever been in our whole entire marriage. God would get you to the place you'll reap what you sow. Young people, you'll hear me. Hear me well. You'll reap what you sow. I sold to the flesh. I sold the wrong decision. I sold the choices that I wanted to do. I wanted my own way. I said, I'll handle this problem, God. Okay, big boy. He'd get back here in the corner. He said, you get yourself out of it. But after... And all this is going with the prodigal son because y'all know the story. Guess what happened? He ended up in the hog pen. That's one of the first messages I preached to young people was heading for the hog pen. I'm going to tell you, young people, you get a spirit of rebellion like this younger son did, you said, I'm ready to go. You'll end up in the hog pen. You'll end up in a hog pen, and you can come back to me a week or two, month, a year later. You can say, Brother Craig, you were right. You stood on April the 15th, tax day, 2009. And you told me I was going to end up in a hog pen. That's exactly where I went. Whew, Lord Jesus, help us. Proverbs 17:11, the Bible says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. I'm going to tell you, young people, even us adults, we get a spirit of rebellion against God, against the man of God, against the church, against mom and dad, against their spouses. It may be that a cruel messenger. Brother Ronnie Simpson preached that. Cruel messenger come knocking at your door. And I guess you'd say, foreclosure, bankruptcy, losing everything I got, losing a job. That was a cruel messenger. But I come out better. He wasted, verse 13, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance living with riotous.
wasted his substance with riotous living. When it spent all, there rose a mighty famine. I'm going to tell you something. All of us, young people, you listen. All of us need to listen. We better prepare ourselves in those prosperous times, because the famine's coming. And it's coming very quickly here in America and all across the globe. The famine's coming. So we better prepare now, spiritually, financially, physically, whatever, domestically. We better prepare now for the famine because it's coming. There arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He got desperate. He went, joined himself to a citizen in that country. And look where he ended up at. He sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Oh yeah, instead of a garbage man. Well, he's feeding slop. Instead of a ditch digger. Feeding slop to the hogs. You know, and it said also, said he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave him to him. In other words, it got down to the point where he would have liked to have some of that slop. When he came to himself, it's going to come a day. I had to do it. As a young person, I had to do it in 2008. I had to come to myself. So I'm tired of living this way. And how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, I'll rise and go to my father. I had to come home. Say, Father, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. You shared with me some things. And you let me get myself in a mess where I had to turn to you. I'm saying sell out, young people. I'm going to take you to a man. We're not going to turn. I'm just going to give it to you real quick. Give it to you real quick. But Joshua, Brother Mike, in Exodus 33, where you preached that the other night, it talked about Joshua. I'm going to go there and make sure I got that chapter right. Exodus chapter number 33. You can turn if you want to, but Exodus 33. Let me read you these verses. I may have to go back further. Verse number 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. This is not really what I want, but I'm going to bring that one out here in just a little bit. If you go on back, Joshua's mentioned. Even though it mentions in the Bible he was a young man, some of the commentators think he was around in his 50s. But it mentions young man, even in this chapter. Even in that verse right there, it talks about the son of Nun, Joshua the son of Nun, a young man. But compared to Moses, compared to all the elders, he was a young man. Because they was old back then. But these young men, this young man Joshua, he spent some very good quality time with the man of God, Moses. And it's always been taught to me, and I've tried to live by this, to be a great leader, you must be a great follower. There's going to be times by leading, by following the man of God, following that Sunday school teacher, following those parents, God is going to use you in some things to be a leader. Young people right now, you might be saying, I've got plenty of time. Brother Craig, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, I sat there and done the same thing you did. But there was times that I had to come to myself and I said, I don't care. I'm a young person. It's time I can just go ahead and sell out. I just want to sell out to God. I want to do something for God. Youth group I came in, the youth group I was, just like your age, youth group I was in, pretty powerful youth group from up at Liberty. Pretty powerful. There was times in our services Miss Stacy, there was times in our services, it was the young people that did the worshiping. It was the young people that you find them hitting the altar just different times in the service. It was young people that would unite with a lot of fire in the services. But you know, sitting right here, Miss Debbie, right here. Oh, thank God, right here, all the way around, I'm seeing a young people and many that sit right here on these pews. I'm seeing a young people that's got that same potential, that's got the same God, that's got the same potential for doing something for God. But where are they at? Mind's nowhere around, the heart's not there. I'm going to say young people sell out. It'll be worth it. I promise you, it will be worth it. Do it now. Do it now. But he spent time with a man of God. You go into one of them chapters, I'll have to find it. I've got it written down here. When Moses, you can check me out. I seen it this afternoon. Moses, when he was called to go up into the mountain. You know, remember when he went up into the mountain 40 days and 40 nights and spent the time while the whole crowd was going haywire, they were building the golden calf. But Moses, 40 days and 40 nights, he was up in the mountain getting a word from God and was in the glory, in the clouds. So somewhere between the clouds and that crowd down there, wicked, it said young Joshua, the minister Joshua, went with him. So somewhere between those clouds and that crowd, Moses was camped, or Joshua was camped out. I'll give you a verse I want now. If you want to know, you come, we'll find it. He wanted to be near the man of God. He wanted to be where the glory was at. He wanted to be where the presence of God is. Let me show you this verse. I'll say, stay with the man of God, young people. Look at verse number 11. I started to read it in chapter 33 of verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again into the camp. Moses now, he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He loved the glory. He loved the worship. He loved being around the tabernacle. He enjoyed that fellowship with God in the tabernacle. He stayed with the church. Amen. When Moses went back to the camp, Joshua said, Moses, I love you, but I like it here. I'm satisfied. I'm going to stay. And I could see Moses said, son, fine choice. I see you sold out for God. I will be back. Because I'm sure Moses enjoyed the times. I'm sure he had a job to do in the camp. His tension. He wanted the glory of God. But then when in Numbers, I want to show you all this scripture. I want you to see it. And again, like I said, if you want this scripture, I'll give them to you. But in Numbers 13, when it come to sending one person out of each tribe, send them over into Canaan to spy out the land, I'm sure Moses was looking around, la, 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 yeah, there's Judah. Yes, Caleb, you go. Judah. Ephraim, tribe of Ephraim. Who's in the tribe of Ephraim? Joshua. There's no greater one. He stood with me. Joshua, you're the man for this job. Oh, Joshua, he got a glimpse of Canaan. He actually went with those other 11 to spy out the land. He come back, and it was Caleb and Joshua. Here's that man, that young man. It was Joshua that come back with Caleb, had a good report. I believe we can take it. We even brought back the fruits. I can see old Joshua now. Them old grapes being so big. I can see it now as he's already ate part of it. He brought that in and said, look, I've even got a grape on my head as a hat. That's how big these grapes are. The land is fruitful. I'm calling to you, Canaan is fruitful. Adults and young people alike. Canaan land is full of fruits.
Full of it. Got to get there. I believe we can take it. Yes, there's walled cities. Yes. Who was it that was... Somebody tell me who it was that was called upon to march the Israelites around a great big wall of Jericho. Does anybody know the answer? Somebody. Oh, Brother Yarnell. You win $100 from Brother David. Joshua. He was called upon to do some... He was called upon to go into the Canaan land with the other 11 from the tribe. He was called upon to take the people around the around the wall of Jericho. Joshua. He was being a great follower. When he stayed with the man of God, he found himself in the presence of God. He found himself somewhere on the mountain. When Moses was gone away in the clouds, way up there on top of the mountain, Joshua was somewhere. I'm going to say, young people, sell out. Be a Joshua. Because when you be a great follower, you follow the man of God, you stay with the church as Joshua. You stay with them. Get good and spoiled. And around here, get good and burnt for the things of God. Staying with the man of God, staying with the church, staying with His people, staying with this crowd. And God will call upon you to do a great work. There's joy in doing the will of God. I firsthand tell you that. But young people, you end up like a prodigal son, you'll mess your life up. But if you'll sell out like Joshua, be a great follower. Follow parents, follow pastor, follow my advice tonight. You sell out. Sell out in your conversion. Oh, just sell out. Tell people you love Jesus. Live for Him. Sell out in your confidence. Have a confidence in this good King James Bible. Sell out and read it. Sell out in communion with prayer. Sell out in your convictions. I've told this to youth groups, and I've told this just here recently. If you're looking for a mate, you make sure you're convicted and in your standards. Find out what you want. Find out through the Word of God. Get right here, get your convictions, and I'm about to wrap it up. But young people, you get your convictions right here. And say, I want a mate. I want a young boy. I want a young girl that'll line up with this book. I want my standards to come right here. And you find that one. You better make sure, number one, you better make sure they're saved. Because I tell you, the odds are, you pulling them up, very slim. Very slim. You know, Donna was not saved. She told you. When me and her started dating, Donna wasn't saved. God convicted her right before we got married. You better make sure they're of your faith. Young people, I'm telling you, you better make sure they're saved. I'll be honest with you, you better make sure they're a Baptist. Yeah, two girls I dated. One was a First Christian Church, Rogersville. They believe in the Campbellites, Brother Brian. So what's that? It takes water baptism to be saved. And another one was a Church of Christ. She professed to get saved. And she come out of it. Because she liked us Baptists. It's going to be a hard road. Make sure they're saved. Make sure the Baptists. And I'll go this far, but you better make sure, if you're an independent Baptist, you better make sure they're an independent Baptist. Because your standards are going to be different. I'm serious. I'm serious. I know. I love you, young people.
I hope I didn't make any of you mad. I don't apologize.